Hello again. Welcome to our program. We're going to conclude today on this study of the end times. We're looking at the White Horse Rider. Actually, he comes on the scene during the tribulation period, but we're making an application here concerning the local church age, particularly focusing on the Laodicean church. We'll read this portion of scripture. It says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eye with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." Now, in verse 14, we see very plainly that it says here, it is written unto the angel of the church. Now, the angel, that word has been translated messenger, and it obviously refers to the pastor. This portion of scripture, as with all the seven letters that were written in the book of Revelation, were addressed to the pastor and not to the people. This particular church we're looking at is called the Church of the Laodiceans. Now, prior to this church, we look at the Church of Philadelphia, and as far as God is concerned, He has nothing to rebuke this church about. They are doing a tremendous job. And it represents the time back here in 1859 and that era where the Great Revival swept, and God's people were doing things God's way. But then we proceeded on to the Laodicean church, and God has nothing good to say about this particular church. What happened in this short period of time? Influence. The influence, the shadow of the White Horse Rider, we said before, the White Horse represents philosophy. Philosophy is how we do what God has told us to do. Now, in Revelation 3:8, we read concerning the church at Philadelphia, "Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name." Now, we really need to focus on that verse. That's how the church at Philadelphia was doing God's will, God's way. They were small. They had little strength. We're using the icon here of this building with a cross on it. Back there in that portion of scripture, 2,000 years ago, they weren't meeting in their fancy churches with their gymnasiums. They were meeting in their homes. Now, they were organized. They had pastors. It's not a church unless it's organized like a church. You can't go home and get upset with a pastor and have some meetings and call it church. It's not a church. The church has a pastor, it has a purpose, and it has the people. In any event, the church at Philadelphia, he said, "I've set before thee an open door." Now, we have this phrase, "I've set before you," several times in the Word of God. You can look at them here. I'm not going to take the time today to read them. There's a good study here. But we see here that God says over and over again, "I have set it before you." The thing is, what are we going to do with it? Now, the church at Philadelphia, we see they had an open door. What do we have here in this church at Laodicea? The door is shut. The Lord says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Philadelphia, they did God's will, God's way. The church of Laodicea, I'll do God's will, but I'll do it my way. And so we read here, "Write unto the angel," write to the pastor, "these things saith the Amen, the faithful, the true, the witness, the beginning of the creation of God." We better listen to who's talking here. What's happening in the church of Laodicea? Well, we think we have a better plan. We can't get a crowd if we go preaching that repentance stuff. And so we won't talk about repentance. We'll tell them, you know, just pray a prayer. All you got to do is believe. Problem with that is the devil believes and trembles, the Bible says, and he's not going to heaven. We're filling our churches, our fundamental, so-called fundamental churches, with people who have prayed a little prayer, and they think they're saved. How wicked is this? It's Laodicean. Ezekiel 3:17, God said, I have made thee a watchman. Give them warning from me. In 2 Peter, we read, there shall be false teachers among you who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. That word bought has been translated redeemed 3 times. They're going to be among you, Christian preachers, denying the Lord that said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. That is a damnable heresy. It doesn't get any more Laodicean than that. You can have a sign on the front of your church, you can stick it on your stationery that says you're a fundamental independent Baptist church. If you are not preaching repent, if you are not exposing those who are bringing in a damnable heresy, there is nothing fundamental about you or your church. God said, the Lord said to this pastor, I know thy works. Now his works were commendable. He said in chapter 2 and verse 2, I know thy works, 2:9. I know thy works, verse 13. Verse 19, I know thy works. Now Amos 8:7 says, surely I will never forget any of their works. Hebrews 6:10 says, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed toward his name. He'll remember your works. But this pastor, his works, I know thy works. What are they? Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. He even mentions cold first. I would rather you were cold than room temperature. So then, he says, because thou art lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out. That's pretty serious. Now, we're not talking about salvation here. As previously mentioned, this verse has nothing to do with the subject of salvation. This verse is not dealing with the people in the church. It's dealing with the pastor. I will spew thee out. What's he talking about? It concerns the pastor who may look successful, but he is no longer representing the Lord. The Bible says in Jeremiah 15, when the prophet was right with God, God said, thou shalt be as my mouth. When the prophet refused to do things God's way, they lost the opportunity to speak for him. God plainly warned Jeremiah, saying, whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. A compromising pastor ceases to be God's spokesman. You can rhyme off scriptures. You can do whatever you want. Unless we're going to do what God says to do and to do it his way, we're compromisers. What is a compromise? To compromise is to make a deal between different parties where each party gives up part of their demand. Compromise is a concept of finding a mutual acceptance of terms, often involving variations from an original goal or desire. And so we're heading into it. Let's get our head out of the sand. We are going to face some persecution. Now, the persecution will stop if you will tune down the message. And the deal is, yep, okay, I'll just tune down the message. It often involves variations from an original goal or desire. Our problem today is not what's being preached in our so-called fundamental churches. Our problem today is what is not being preached. And so Jesus said to this Laodicean pastor, thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing and knowest not. Thou sayest, and no, you don't know. You're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. You're talking a lot, but you don't know what you're talking about. He said, I counsel thee, that thou may see. The Laodicean pastor says, don't confuse me with scripture. My mind's made up. As many as I love, I rebuke, Jesus said, and be chastened, be zealous, therefore, and repent. Oh, there's that word again. Behold, Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Jesus said, are you with me? We want God to be with us. No, the Lord said, you need to be with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. We need to understand this portion of Scripture has to do with the tribulation period. And in it we read, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives even unto death. And so he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Our answer when the Lord speaks, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. That should be where we're at today. Well, that's it. We'll conclude this series. We're going to start a series in the book of Colossians. The White Horse Rider, the shadow, the philosophy of ministry, that's what we're talking about here, is running rampant through our local churches today. Don't be Laodicean.